Hey guys, welcome to the Begging Broadcast, episode number 560. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
And I'm Paul.
And we're a weekly podcast that comes to you in three ways.
The first being The Week in Geek, bringing the top geek stories of the past week.
Next is the list, the comic books that we are looking forward to coming out April 24th, 2024.
And we always bring that up with our main topic. And this week we're celebrating Impossible Astronaut Day, a fake holiday made up by Doctor Who fans that they celebrate April 23rd, the release of the Impossible Astronaut episode of Doctor Who. So we're just going to talk about Doctor Who shit.
Yeah. It's weird that they picked up that episode. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I thought for maybe, because I didn't go back and rewatch that episode, obviously. Probably should have.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But why would that be obvious to us, Paul?
Because he asked me to watch the four specials that just aired on Disney Plus. So that's what I thought we were talking about in the main topic. Hopefully we are.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Celebration of all things Doctor Who.
Whovarian? Whovian?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Time Lord?
Sure.
Timey-wimey.
The definitive article? Chris.
What are you drinking?
I don't know what I'm drinking. This is some BS that you brought to the table, Chris.
Yes. Paul's trying to get punchy, but it just sounds so hollow.
It does. But at first, when he was just going on and on about the Who stuff, I was about to just say, like, guys, I'm done. I'm not doing the podcast anymore. And then he goes punchy with the, I'm drinking.
I don't know what this S is I'm drinking with my M. Punchy Paul doesn't say mouth. No, there's a new Voodoo Ranger mixed pack that came out from New Belgium Brewing. I saw that at my beer store, so I just grabbed it. And Paul also grabbed it as well. Mm-hmm. John did not. He said boo.
He's got other things to grab later on.
Are you making a Dick Tracy joke?
Yes.
Okay, that's where you're going with it. But we're starting off with the one that Paul picked because it's the one he was most excited about. That's Hop Raider IPA. Paul, you were excited about this one because it has Indiana Jones on the
It has Indiana Jones and it looks like he's swinging from a vine.
And, or it's the Voodoo Ranger guy, so technically it would be Indiana Bones.
Oh, is that the name of him? He's Mr. Bones? Oh. Okay, well.
This obviously.
Obviously. 8.1% alcohol by volume. Just a decent, easy drinking IPA. Not anything to write the soldiers about. I'm not getting much big aftertaste. It's not lingering with big, you know, floral, fruity notes. No big piney notes. It's just kind of a here and then gone beer. Much like how Indiana Jones shows up in your life and then disappears.
Pretty ghosty.
Yeah. Not as ghosty as. Yeah,
I don't mind it. It hides that 8.1% pretty well. But yeah, I'm not kicking down doors to get more.
Yeah,
John.
Hey,
you're drinking a beer.
I'm drinking a beer. I'm only gonna have one tonight, and I'm having the Buffalo Check West Coast style IPA, a new IPA from Flying Bison Brewery. West Coast style, 7.5, and this is good. It's a solid drinker. Got a little bit of bitter to it. I'd say it's probably kind of more that American style where it's in between a West and a East Coast. But it's nice. It's a good drinker. I believe this is a Flying Dog recipe beer.
Oh.
Flying Bison being owned by Matt Brewing owning Flying Dog. They're kind of rotating those recipes throughout their portfolio. They've done that for a while. The Christmas beer that we've had for a while from Flying Bison is actually the Ubu Ale that's been spiced from Lake Placid Brewing. So, but this is good. I like it. Easy drinking. I think like good picnic beer because you can drink it. It's not like crazy punchy in the mouth flavorful, but it has that little bit of bitter where you'd want to kind of keep drinking it. Mm-hmm. But it's nice.
Is it as good of a picnic beer as that cucumber beer?
No. Nothing can be as good as that from, was that from Millhouse?
I have no, I don't remember. I only vaguely remember the cucumber beer.
Yeah.
How is Buffalo Check? Is it Buffalo Check as in like,
as in the Buffalo
Check? Or is it, oh, the print, the plaid.
Is it me that froze or Paul?
It was you.
Yeah, the Buffalo okay. Check. Okay. The flannel.
Oh, yeah, it's check like.
It's the flannel.
Flannel plaid.
I got you.
Oh, I should go put on my Buffalo Check shirt.
I should have wore mine.
After this word from our sponsor. And hey, we're kids. Back.
Hey, kids, do you want to punch your mom in the mouth? Drink Uncle Paul's sarsaparilla.
It'll rev you up and calm you down.
What?
It's going to rev you up and calm you down.
Anyways, that's the sponsorship that we're going for. John, you sent over a movie trailer.
I sent over two.
Whoa.
I sent over the first. I sent over the new Transformers animated movie, which looks great. Mm-hmm. This is young Optimus and young Megatron as friends, trying to save their homeworld and becoming Transformers and learning how to transform with their pal Bumblebee and fourth Transformer, who I don't remember who that was.
Yeah, it's Transformers Year Zero, because it's like before the Gen 1 stuff. So Optimus and Megatron look different because they're like adolescent Transformers, which is really weird.
But they got adult voices. Chris Hemsworth and that other guy that I like from other things that I've seen.
Wow. This description sounded like the descriptions I give.
Yeah. I can't think of what that actor's name is, but he was,
I too like people that are in things that John is.
He's been in the Godzilla, he was in Godzilla.
Bryan Cranston.
No. Godzilla X Kong and Godzilla versus Kong. He was in
Bryan Tyree Henry. Yeah, Bryan Tyree Henry.
If you're telling me.
He's also in Eternals.
Yes.
He played like the fastest guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I liked him. He's in Atlanta.
Yeah, and I believe he's Megatron.
In is real he, life? Wow.
Wow. Or is Wait, he? So or is he? Is he Bumblebee?
I thought Megatron was Megatron.
So I will say the thing about this trailer is it did look okay. None of it stuck with me though. Like I sat down, I watched it, and I promptly forgot about everything afterwards.
I can understand that.
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's the hot take. Again, the joys of living right down the street from the fire station. Did you show this to Grayson? Is this something like...
No, I like to show trailers to Grayson when they get closer to coming out. Because otherwise he asks me every day when it comes, are we going to go see it?
Can what I watch you tell it? Him? That's the movie. What if you say, like, oh, hey, we're going to watch this new cartoon. and then later you're like, oh, there's a longer version of it. Now we're going to go see it.
I think Grayson's smart enough to read Coming Soon.
Oh, he's five. He's not going to read Coming Soon. But yeah, no, I would show it to him when it gets a little bit closer. And I think he'd have fun with this. I think I'd have fun with it. Like, I'm not going in there expecting awesome... like Shakespeare, like mm-hmm. I saw the trailer. I know exactly what I'm going to get out of this.
It looks like a fun Transformers movie, which have been few and far between. So
yeah,
I know Bumblebee was really fun.
I didn't need to watch that.
So. Like watching that, I was like, man, I should have watched this sooner. And it kind of gave me the kick in the pants to watch the like the other newer ones, like the Rise of the Beasts.
Rise of the Beast, which has the coolest opening scene on Cybertron.
Oh. That was I was so happy just that. That could have been the movie. And I would have been like, yep.
Isn't that what you guys said about Man of Steel as well? Like the scenes on Krypton were the best part of that movie? Or who said that? Somebody in my life.
Possible, but I don't have that thought. So
it was me.
Probably wasn't us, because I don't remember really enjoying anything from that movie.
I didn't mind it.
I don't mind that movie.
It's not a Superman movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a Superman movie. It's
Man. And you know what also isn't a Superman movie? Deadpool and Wolverine, the second trailer that John had sent over.
Yes.
Like a glove.
We got to see some good Wolverine in it. We actually got to see him with and without those sleeves on.
Why are people so obsessed with the sleeves?
I don't know.
Wait, there's things with. How did I catch a sign in the background? But I have no idea what you're talking about.
You're too busy looking at the sign in the background to see the sleeves.
I guess so.
Yeah. I did see like some people had posted that the one fight scene that they show is the exact fight from Spider-Man.
When Flash is fighting Peter Parker.
Peter Parker.
And that was the fight scene.
Peter's ducking all the punches.
Where like the crew was going to pay Joe Manganiello. I can never remember how to pronounce his last name. Joe
Manganiello.
You know, the cool Dungeons and Dragons.
They're going to pay him to actually punch Toby.
Yeah, because nobody liked Toby Maguire on set. one of my favorite stories about Spider-Man. No, this looks cool. I watched it. I really enjoyed it. I had asked Biani if she saw it, and she was like, oh, no, I didn't watch it. And she's like, why, do you want to go see it? I was like, yeah, I've seen the other ones in theater. Like, I saw both of them with my mom. Like, my mom loves the Deadpool movies, so I got to see if she watched this yet, because I'm sure she's probably hyped for it, because she likes the Hugh Jackman Wolverine stuff, too. Which is weird that my mom's, like, into that, but she hasn't watched any other comic book movies.
I love the scene where the giant Ant-Man mask opens up, and there's a skull in there, and in that scene, they've pointed out that you can see Lady Deathstrike, Sabretooth, Toad, Pyro, you can see Nightcrawler's father, the red guy.
Azazel.
Azazel.
Who's the leader of the Morlocks? What's her name? Calypso. You can see the Calypso that was in the previous X-Men movies. There's the Russian from the Punisher movies in there. There's guy. There's a guy with like a blonde flat top and the striped shirt.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's definitely like, I'm excited for this movie. I'm interested to see all the stuff that they tie back into it, even if it's just like a glimpse.
Yeah,
like, I think it's fun that they did that.
Yeah. How weird is it that I enjoy the Thomas Jane Punisher movies more than the Zack Snyder Superman movies?
See, I sometimes, Chris, I can't trust you because you're like Eternals. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
Oh, it's awful. Bad.
It's pretty slow.
It's slow, but it's not actively bad.
It's actively bad.
It's one that I am dreading having to go back to watch for the rewatch. It's definitely bottom tier. I think we all.
It's lower tier, but
yeah.
I was expecting it to be much worse based on the reviews, and it was it was fine. It's a movie.
It is a movie.
It is a movie. Much like the next movie. No more trailers. Okay.
I think the trailer trees are empty.
Oh no. Been struck by drought here in Trailer Country. You see no fruit grow on them. The dog's age.
Yeah, and guys, I gotta start actually paying attention to these trailers, because coming up soon is the Bank and Board Classic. The summer blockbuster Bracket Busters is coming back.
Coming back, baby.
I gotta pay attention. I gotta shape up. I gotta figure out Chris Hemsworth and that other guy. No.
You do. And we also got to figure out what comic books we're going to be buying this week for the list. And also need to figure out which beer we're going to be opening up next.
You pick this one.
I'll pick this one. I'm going to go Captain Dynamite.
Oh, spoilers for our listeners. I was expecting you just to lift up the can.
Oh, no, I was looking at the cans and I was like, oh, this can's kind of a cool color green. I like it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, sorry. I'm not trying to dunk on you there, Paul.
That's awesome. Is it?
But I can see it's a cool color green. There's kind of like a cool teal next to it, too.
All right. I trust you.
Well, do you trust John's pick in comic books? Because I don't.
Never.
So we're definitely going to read Dick Tracy number one now.
This is a gritty reboot where everybody has fingers being stuck through their eyes.
The only reason he's buying this one is because one of the variant covers is, it's like a take on the Alex Ross Joker and Harley Quinn painting that John loves so much. He has on a t-shirt.
You know what's funny is I didn't realize that till you said it, and I was like, oh, look at that. He's right.
I thought you were just doing a bit, Chris. Good. That's nope. Kind of awful.
As soon as I clicked on the book and I saw the variant covers, I'm like, well, that's why.
So who's John after you're done dying?
Wow. Oh, he's a new Dick Tracy villain, the hacker.
So this book is being brought to us by Michael Morselli and Alex Segura, and this is just after World War II. An up and coming detective, Dick Tracy, is pulled into a murder in the.
Well, if my name was Dick, I'd be up and coming.
Yeah. You guys enjoyed that one, but I make a joke. Because I'm like, oh.
Yeah, well, Chris's jokes were funny.
It wasn't that funny. I was more like, oh, he's setting this one up.
So, yeah. So, Dick Tracy. Get ready to read it in another 2 weeks.
Post-World War II trauma, Dick Tracy. All right.
Well, I see one of the other covers has Flat Top on the cover. So is he already going to have his rogues, or is this going to be him meeting his rogues?
I don't know. I haven't read the book yet.
Well, it came out yesterday. So, I mean, it comes out this week. I understand that.
Chris, what are you
Chris got
looking
punchy.
Forward to?
I tried to get punchy. Chris got real punchy.
My turn. over at Image Comics, they've been putting out not relaunches, but almost kind of sequels to the Universal monster movies. The next series that's coming out is The Creature from the Black Lagoon Lives. Number one, being written by Dan Waters. Oh, I wonder if he's writing it because Waters, Black Lagoon. Makes sense if you think about it. And Ramvi, one of John's guys, who was scolded for assuming it was one of his guys, with art by Matthew Roberts. The covers for this really remind me of like Mike Mignola Hellboy stuff. I don't know if that's what we're going to be seeing in the book, but I'm down for some creepy, spooky bog creature action. I don't know. It's a light week for me. Everything else that I'm buying is just books that I'm already buying. It's like a number three, a number four, a number five. So, you know, something different.
The Universal Monsters are something that I always like. Oh, man, I should go back and like watch all the classic Universal Monster movies. Because... like, I know TMC, yeah, Turner Classic Movie Channel, like, back in the day, like, I stumbled upon them doing, like, a Hammer, like, marathon of the Dracula Hammer. Like,
and I was hoping you were going to say anything else, going to be like, but that's why you bought all those shiny pants.
Yeah, the Hammer films, you know, with Dracula, Christopher, and it's, like, Christopher Lee as Dracula. Like, I watched all those and liked them. And I think I saw the Bela Lugosi Dracula, like, in school. Like, because we read, Dracula in school, and we watched the Bela Lugosi one. But, and Frankenstein, I think I watched. But I've never seen Creature from the Black Lagoon. I don't think I've seen the Wolfman movie or the Mummy. So, it's like, and I always think about it, and then it's nothing that actually like stays top of mind. So I never think about it. Like when it's appropriate to watch them, I never think about actually sitting down to do it.
Yeah. I love the monsters in theory. I just think the character designs are so cool. Like, the special effects that they did in that time are amazing. I don't know if I could actually sit down and watch a movie and be engaged with it enough to continue on and watch all of them. I feel like I'm much more fair weather fan, where I could watch like a YouTube video about the history of the monster movies, and I would show like clips, and I'd be like, all right, yeah, they're cool. And then I'd go on. John, you're the horror movie guy. Have you dipped your toe into the Black Lagoon?
Yeah, I believe I've watched it, I mean, years and years ago. But yeah, it probably, like Paul said, it probably was like on a Turner classic during Halloween, and I probably watched all those classic movies all kind of at once. All the Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi and those kind of ones. And what's his name?
Abbott and Costello.
Yes. No, what's his name who did the Lon Chaney Jr.? Was it Lon Chaney or Jr. who did the Wolfman?
I think it was Jr.
I think Lon Chaney did the Hunchback, right? And then...
And he did Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, and then Lon Chaney Jr. did Wolfman. Maybe.
Maybe.
Man, I gotta get that YouTube video queued up.
But yeah, I've watched all of those. I enjoy them for what they are and what that kind of time period and what they could do at that time and how well they did look. But yeah, and I've enjoyed a lot of the more modern ones. But Creature from the Black Lagoon, like the only other time he shows up is Monster Squad. You know, he's not like the Gill Man is in tons of Hollywood properties.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm intrigued by this. And something that's been consistent with everything else that they put out, because they started off with Dracula, then they did Frankenstein, now we're with Creature. The covers for it and all the variants are gorgeous. Like, they all look fantastic. Like, they're all stuff that's, like, print-worthy. Like, even if you're just not a fan, you saw a poster of that, you'd be like, oh, that's cool.
And didn't Francavelli do covers for all of them too? Or
I know he did. I think it was Dracula he did some covers for, but I could be wrong on that. Worth checking out. Much like it's worth checking out Paul's next beer, because that's also my next beer.
Yeah.
Did Paul do his book?
No.
Oh. Go ahead, Paul. Sorry, I thought you...
I thought that was just like Chris is like, nah, Paul, we're tired of you talking about Star Wars books all the time and not reading them. So we're just going to skip it. This is Star Wars Darth Maul.
I would rather have you talk about a Star Wars book than like 2-3 weeks ago when he picked like the Scooby-Doo book. It's like, he's definitely not buying that one.
But the Scooby-Doo books are fun. And didn't we do that as a joke for... like April Fool's Day, wasn't that?
There was the Scooby-Doo. You picked it, and we all liked it the most. We all actually really enjoyed it.
That was no, but like a couple weeks ago, you picked like a Scooby-Doo mystery book.
Yeah, yeah, it was like it had a villain on it, and they weren't calling it that villain, but it was definitely
a Predator.
It was Predator, yeah.
Yeah, episode 557. You picked Scooby-Doo. Where are you? Number 121 for the week of April 3rd.
Close to April Fool's Day. But this isn't a Fool's Day, because we read Darth Vader Black, White, and Red. Now Star Wars now Marvel Comics is coming out with Darth Maul Black, White, and Red. But this doesn't seem to be like an anthology book, because the solicitation only has one story being solicited. And the creative team... it's still long, but not as long as an anthology book. It's being written by Benjamin Piercy, art by Stefano Raffaele. So I'm excited to see what it is. I'm a little upset that it is a $6 book for 36 pages. Hopefully.
So it looks like it's an anthology series where each consecutive issue is like a different story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe, I might pick this up. There's not much else that I was excited about, but guys, 25th anniversary of the Phantom Menace is this year. It's coming out in theaters on May 3rd.
You're going to see it?
I'm planning on seeing it. Yeah. Are you going to see it?
I'm not. Oh. If anything, I might.
Oh, you were asking me.
Oh no, I said you're going to see it. I knew.
I'm excited.
If anything, I might just put it on TV and like quote the memes back as they're happening.
Yeah.
Are you an angel? Whoa. Now this is pod racing.
Spinning.
I'll try spinning. That's a good trick. You know, all the classics.
Wizard!
Wizard! It's working! They're all Anakin lines, by the way. Yeah. But no, I hope you have fun.
I will have fun. Yeah, because...
Are you going to buy the Jar Jar popcorn bucket to fuck?
No. I already have that popcorn bucket. It's a Dune 2 popcorn bucket. So I don't need another one.
Just a Halloween mask.
You just need one. Now, if they sold the Jar Jar bucket with his tongue sticking out, you know, like that after he gets like zapped by the pod racer stabilizers memes, then maybe.
It's the only popcorn bucket that takes D batteries. Q-pop. It's working!
Wizard!
Paul, what are you drinking?
We're drinking the Captain Dynamite IPA from Voodoo, New Belgium, and Voodoo Ranger. And this is 7.7%. And this is a little bit lighter, a little bit crisper, I think, of a mid-drink, you know, mid-taste, mid-palate. Again, not big flavors on the back end.
Super ghosty.
Yeah.
It's, again, not bad, though.
I'm about to call in the Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine gang to try to find out what happened to the flavor.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. They're going to pull off this Captain Dynamite mask and find its bones the whole time.
Bones!
I mean, that was probably one of the funniest things you've ever said, Paul. And you said it in such, like, just... Bah, 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 that I was like, what did he just say? And it took me a second to do it, and I was like, oh, that was really good.
His delivery on that reminded me of Regis Philbin, though. Where it's like, we're going to take his mask off. Find out. It was bones the whole time.
Whole time. Can we established earlier in the show that this mascot's name is Bones.
I love that you two are such high energy, and I'm just like...
I'm getting my second wind. I had an early day at work today. I had to get up at 5 because I went in at 6. And then I got home and I was on the verge of like falling asleep. But I pushed through. And now I've rallied.
As he called me out earlier in the show, I was definitely doing the fake it till you make it kind of thing. I'm like, I got to do something here to get me going. So if I'm going, I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. I'm going where? And now the dramatic, or and now the Bagden podcast proudly present a dramatic reading from Immortal X-Men number 17, page 17, panel 5.
It's all I have, Charles. It's all I have. Our paths will cross no more.
And that was a dramatic reading from Immortal X-Men, number 17.
Is Mr. Sinister a hologram?
He's an astral projection.
Okay.
That's living inside of Charles' mind because Mr. Sinister, like, put himself inside. Like, when the X-Men and all the mutants were, like, being reborn in Krakoa, like Mr. Sinister figured out a way to like implant his psyche in a bunch of them to, you know, further himself.
Interesting. And that whole chapter is closing. We're getting more stuff coming out about the upcoming like X-Men relaunch. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited about it. Like Uncanny X-Men, the teams Rogue, Gambit, Jubilee, Nightcrawler. And there's someone else I like on the team.
Everyone's favorite from
the
90s.
Oh, that sounds cool. And then there's like a new book. It's like Exceptional X-Men. It's like Emma Frost with Kitty Pryde. And I can't remember like who else. And I'm like, oh, I liked the Kitty Pryde-Emma Frost relationship in Astonishing X-Men. So that's a possibility. But I know it's going to just balloon out of control like every other X-Men relaunch that they do. So it's not going to just be like 3 books, it's going to soon become like 5 or 6. I'm going to be like, don't want to read all these. But you know what I do want to do? Talk to my best friends about Doctor Who and the main topic.
Oh, man. Guys, Russell T. Davies came back.
He's back.
Back, is baby.
Is he back for, because I saw, you know, these four specials that are now available on Disney Plus, that he wrote them all. Did he write them all, or he directed them all?
I think he wrote all of them. I don't know. I wasn't expecting that to be a question asked of me.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Hold on. When I Google him, the very first thing that pops up is, what does the T in Russell T. Davies stand for? And it doesn't stand for anything. He added it to distinguish himself from BBC Radio 2 DJ Russell Davies.
Hmm.
But, so does that answer your question?
Yes. Because isn't that what the B stands for in Michael B. Jordan as well?
I believe so. But no, I think he's actually back as the showrunner, because he has like talked about where they will be going with this new season of Doctor Who, with this brand new Doctor spinning out of these four specials that debuted on Disney Plus back, was it starting in December? Was it?
Well, the last one ends on Christmas.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was right before. Right before Christmas they all came out. Yeah, these were all really great. I grew up as a Tom Baker Doctor Who fan. That was what was airing on PBS when I was a kid.
Yep.
And that's always kind of what I thought Doctor Who was. And I got really excited in the, you know, early 2000s, late 2000s, when the show came back. And I watched a couple of those new shows, and the new Doctor didn't do it for me. Eccleston, Christopher Eccleston.
Mm-hmm.
But my mate Paul was like, no, you got to watch this episode. And Paul, what episode is it?
Don't Blink.
Don't Blink. And I watched that, and this charismatic Doctor David Tennant won me over, and has pretty much become like my favorite Doctor. I think he was born to play the Doctor. So one of my favorites. And then coming out of the specials, is we get to keep him. He's still around.
Yeah,
he's still gonna have he's adventures.
Back. He's back, which I think is fantastic.
Didn't we do that already with the hand? And he has this like a half, his hand regenerates.
The hand regenerates and it doesn't have any of his powers. And the hand to him gets to go live with
Rose. Tyler.
Rose. Yeah.
It just happens like after this bi-generation that I was like, oh, but they already did this. They already had his goodbye where it wasn't a goodbye.
That felt more like a goodbye. Like, that was happy ending goodbye. This is...
people love these two characters together.
Yeah, and also this is a like steward for the brand, because people love him. He loves the property. Like, we'll keep him on the payroll. So, you know, in another 10 years, we can do another special where we trot him back out, and everyone's going to go crazy for it, because I did. Like, much like John, I got into Doctor Who with the David Tennant stuff, and I didn't have that childlike wonder for the like Tom Baker stuff. Like, I knew what Doctor Who was, but I never watched it until we sat down and started to go through it, like starting with the Eccleston stuff, which I really didn't get into, but the Tennant, fantastic. Matt Smith, great. But it was at the end of the Matt Smith stuff is where I fell off. Like, I didn't even see Capaldi or then like the Jodie Whittaker stuff. But when it was announced that they were bringing it back for Disney Plus, like brand new Doctor with Shuti Gatwa, I was like, okay, like, yeah, maybe this is a good time to jump into it, because also they were teasing David Tennant coming back. So yeah, like, even if I didn't like the Shuti Gatwa stuff, I would still at least check it out for Tennant, because 10's always going to be my doctor. Like, that's just it. I'm one of those schmo hawks that if I see him, I'm going to tune in. Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did, because I really like this new iteration of it. Paul, your Doctor Who story.
Yeah, much like John, it was definitely Baker with the scarf. And what was interesting about the scarf, it was the stripes are all different, and like half of it's in imperial, half of it's in metric measurements, like the lines. Just one of those weird
things. So what we're talking about is super nerdy, but then Paul just made it even nerdier. And what's interesting...
really weird. Brings you
Cedric,
in.
Baby.
It was something that we would put on, like, when we were visiting my grandparents, you know, up here in Buffalo. And then, like, we would catch it every once in a while on PBS, but it wasn't something like it wasn't like family viewing, like Star Trek The Next Generation or something like that. But I knew what a TARDIS was. I knew Doctor Who. But it wasn't something that I was like, oh, yeah. But then when the Christopher Eccleston started up, my parents, my brother Ryan, Patrick, like, they all were like, no, Doctor Who, Paul, Doctor Who. And I'm like, you know. And when was that starting, like 2005?
I think it was like 2007 or 9.
Okay. Because I couldn't remember if I was out of the house already, or it was right before I moved out of the house when it started. Because I'm like, well, I don't have that cable channel. And they're like, Paul, we'll burn you a DVD of the episodes. And you got to watch it.
In 2005.
So it was right before I was moving out. I was finishing up college, like, busy, so I never had time to watch it. But my brother burned me a CD of, or DVD of it. And I ended up watching it and like, oh, okay. No, this is good. Bad Wolf. Yes. Let's go. I moved out. We did get cable. I was able to like watch episodes. Like, I don't even know how I was watching episodes. Maybe it was on Netflix.
I think they were going up on Netflix.
They were going up on Netflix.
I think it was Hulu. Hulu was getting them. Once it switched to BBC,
it must have been Netflix, bud.
It went off of like streaming stuff.
I didn't have Hulu. Like, it must have been Netflix.
Because like, I was able to stream them and binge, I think, almost all of it. and then leading up to the new ones, and I think they were coming, maybe the new ones were coming out, like the Matt Smith ones were coming out on Hulu.
Yeah.
but I just remember, Paul being like, here, you got to watch it, and pulling it up and being able to play Blink.
Yeah. So yeah, it must've been on Netflix back in, yeah, because, and that's how I was watching it. The David Tennant stuff. Really liked him. Loved Matt Smith. Because the Ponds, and that's when Kate got into it, was with the Ponds, and that made it just easier to enjoy because we could watch it together.
I love David Tennant as like the Doctor, but for supporting cast, I think the Matt Smith is probably the best.
Yeah, because even what's his name that had the show and the karaoke carpool, his two episodes on Doctor Who were good.
I know who you're talking about.
He had a late night show here in the United States that ended like last year or 2 years ago.
What's his name?
That's what I'm asking.
You know who we're talking about. Like, listener, you can see him. I can see him. He was
Carpool Karaoke. That was his big thing.
He was in Cats.
But Intersection like Theater or whatever it was. But yeah, I liked even Stormageddon, that episode. Like, you know, with the kid. Sophie and just Matt Smith, I think, had the better. And then Claire comes in and I watch that episode and I'm like, oh, that's just depressing, though, because, you know, Soufflé Girl is just is trapped in as a Dalek. And I'm like, I don't know. And then I caught a couple episodes of Capaldi, and he was just like,
so mean. He's such a grumpy doctor.
Grumpy doctor, and he's like wondering if he's a good man. Am I good? Am I a good man, Clara? And it's like,
no, you're an asshole.
Yeah, kind of jerk. And then I didn't catch any because I no longer had access. Like it wasn't on the streaming services I had. I don't have cable. I'm a cord cutter. So
yeah.
We've been meaning to talk to you about that. It's weird that you just break into like maternity wards and you're like, I'll cut the cord, and like you just nip your way through.
You know what? But he's got those oversized shears that he only uses them because he bought them for one grand opening, and he's like, I gotta use them for something.
You know what? An umbilical cord's harder to cut through than you think. So it's a good thing that I bring them because you know. Dad's always thinking he can just cut it, and he's struggling, and then I come in. Kunk. You're welcome, everybody.
Jodie Whittaker.
Circumcision, Jodie, wait.
Paul, I'm trying to save you, buddy. The Jodie Whittaker stuff was pretty good. I watched probably about half of that first season, but it was hard keeping up on it because we were watching it. It would air on BBC America or whatever, and then it would pop up on another streaming site like a couple weeks later, and it was tough to keep up on them. But I liked her character. She was a good doctor. Like, she was fun. She could be heavy if she needed to be. And the whole first season was leading up to the Master coming back, and everyone that she as the doctor was defeating, the Master was like collecting and creating like an army with them. So, but I never saw the conclusion of that.
Yeah, it does make me watching
these. Catch up on the stuff that I missed.
Makes me want to watch Jodie Whittaker just to understand what the Flux was, because that seems to be a big deal.
Bless you.
That's the Flux. All right, so that's our bona fides when it comes to Doctor Who, right? Like where we've been.
I feel like that's good laying the base on like where we came in, where we left off, and I think a lot of it has to do with just availability, because I was watching it pretty regularly because it was not day and date, but like. If an episode would come out on BBC, it would be available like that week on Hulu. So I could kind of keep up on it that way. But then Hulu lost it because it switched over to BBC America. So in order to get it, you had to have access to that. And that was when I was like, okay, well, I don't need to do this. But Disney Plus is one of the things that we stream stuff on regularly. Like, I have access to a lot of the streaming platforms, but Disney Plus is the one that we'll just put on and be like, oh, what's new? What are we going to watch? Like, okay, there's an X-Men 97. We'll watch that. Oh, nothing else new. Back out of it. Go to the next streaming platform. And I think Doctor Who coming out with these new specials and the new episodes, it's going to be readily available, because even if I'm not like actively being like, oh, I need to watch the new Doctor Who, it's something that's going to pop up, and I'll be like, oh, there's a new Who. Like, all right, let's giddy up.
Yeah, it's definitely going to make it easier for me to keep up on it with it being on Disney Plus. And knowing that it's going to, when I go on there, it'll be popped up on the banner, like, new episode right here. Like, okay, ready to go. Grayson watched some of those Doctor Who's with me. And he enjoyed them. Some of the monsters were a little scary. The Neil Patrick Harris episodes creeped him out with the people like with the doll bodies and the human heads.
Yeah.
Like those freaked him out. And he was like, Dad, I think this is too scary for me. And I was like, okay, no problem. We'll turn it off.
Was it the first episode when they're on the spaceship so they feel cold and then it's the copies of themselves that didn't freak them out?
No, because they got silly and they were silly and weird when they first came in. And he's not like...
My arms are too long, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that stuff didn't really bother him. And
what about, like, the pirate goblin, like, spaceship?
The pirate goblins he liked a lot.
Okay, because I could see that being kind of, like, creepy but fun. Because it reminded me, honestly, of Labyrinth.
He loves Labyrinth. Okay. So.
Goblin King.
Yeah.
I was expecting, like, Neil Patrick Harris back with his. With some juggling.
I didn't hear what Chris said.
Oh, I stopped because Paul was saying something.
Yeah.
And then Paul.
And then Paul shut up.
I'm drinking.
But yeah, like, I feel like these new episodes I might be able to watch with Grayson, and if the adults, meaning my wife and I, can watch it more during the day with our son. And not have to watch it after we've put him to bed, we'd have a better chance of getting him watched.
I had a hard time understanding, like the first few episodes. I'm like, who's this for? Because it's definitely not for a new viewer. Because it was
for me.
Yeah, it's for you. And I was thinking, well, it's because Doctor Who was always like a kid show, but not a kid show. But it's kind of a kid show. But is it a kid show?
I think they had original series.
Like the Tom Baker was supposed to be a kid show. Like supposed.
Those were more of a kid, a young adult kind of drama. The nothing about the new episodes are kids friendly. Because I went back and tried to watch the Eccleston ones with Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, these aren't very good either. Like, not that they're not good, but.
Right.
And then I was like, well, I really just need to show him Tenet, because Tenet will change his life. Yeah. But yeah, so sorry, I interrupted you, Paul.
No, that's exactly what I'm wondering.
They're for me.
Mm-hmm.
They're for the lapsed Doctor Who fan that loves Doctor Who. They got me back with David Tennant, and they showed me the new Doctor, and I was like, yeah, I can check this out. This is going to be great.
And I think they made the new Doctor someone like excitable and likable enough that you're like, okay, like
he's like David Tennant was.
He is. He's going to be fun. Like, and that's some of the Matt Smith there too.
Is because David Tennant was the kind of the fun guy. He was dealing with some issues after he lost Rose and everything, but for a while he was the fun Doctor. He loses Rose, he has a little thing, and then he becomes a fun doctor again. And then this, he's not fun. You know, and a lot of the writing, too, is like Russell T. Davies just yelling at the audience. Especially the Toymaker one, where it's just like, yeah, no, I understand the world is going to shit, man. Like, I get it, but that's why I'm here. Doctor, save me. And then the doctor's yelling at me for being like, no, this is you. You did this. And I'm like, dude.
I didn't feel like he was yelling at me at all.
I didn't feel like that at all.
No, I do feel like that's all addressed in the episode, like, where it's, no, you spend all of your time running. Like, you run. Like, that's what we do. Like, you need to just get past it. And I feel like that's what all of these specials kind of led up to, is like catharsis, where it's just like, no, like, let the past go. Like, you're a man who has seen and done everything. Like, you don't need to dwell on that because there's still so much out there to see and do. So let's go. Let's have fun with it.
I did like the new doctor giving him a hug and being like, no, I'm fine. You don't need to worry about me. I'm fine because you sorted your stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
We're Time Lords. We're doing therapy in reverse.
I did think it was funny that they were like sharing an outfit after they split.
Uh-huh.
Like, each one of them had like half the clothes. I like that little thing. Like, I made a note of that when I watched it. I'm like, that's clever. That's cool. Do you guys have a favorite of these four like new specials?
The last one.
The last one? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, number four, the Christmas one, the stealing the babies, the new doctor. I thought it was the most, it wasn't as creepy, and there was a lot of body horror in the first three.
But see, it's Doctor Who body horror, so it's still kind of like, I showed it to my kid. Like, it's child safe.
Well,
like,
before it was
like super stretchy, like weird.
The special effects were good enough where it was that creepy, like the doll. John, when you were like, yeah, Grayson's like, yeah, I was feeling that way too. Like, the arms too long, body horror, like, and then they, like, David Tennant, like, copy, like, bends over, starts running like a dog. I don't like that. And also, like, when he puts his head between his own, you know, his legs and, like, twists all around, I'm like, ah! I don't like it. I don't like
it. It didn't bother me.
It bothered me.
I think I liked the first one because it was getting the band back together of Donna Noble and that. Yep. And,
oh, that's the
Star Child. Is he going to tell her? Is she going to figure it out?
Yeah, I forgot that one.
Yeah. And then it's like, nope, we don't talk about that. Nope.
But by the end of it, you're just like, yay, they're back together.
Well, by the end of it, I'm like, of course that super cute alien's evil. Like, oh, yeah. I've seen enough Doctor Who to know that I should not be trusting this thing.
And
the Meep.
And I mean, the third one, too, with Neil Patrick Harris, who I think was perfect in that. And I love that there's an idea that he's going to come back.
I thought it just set up the Master coming back.
I think it's both. Maybe. But I feel like he's going to come back.
I think so.
I really like that. And I really liked them all. Because even the last one with the goblins and everything, and finding his, is she or isn't she his companion? Like, you know, what is it going to be, and who is it going to be? I liked all of that. And she's his, that new companion is very Rose-esque.
Yeah. Young singer.
I don't know when it's happening, but she's already, like, stepping away from production. She's being replaced. Like, I don't know how far into shooting, like, the new season they are, but I really liked her, Ruby Sunday.
Yeah.
I did, like, you know, I felt like that still had nods, like, the crack in the wall, you know, the big old crack, and then she disappears, basically, in that crack. I'm like, oh, okay, so that's, like, almost a callback, like, nudge, like a wink, not a full like retelling, but a little Amy Pond-esque. Chris,
I hope they do it with what they did with like those Tenets and some of those Matt Smiths, where they had those roster of amazing writers who also love Doctor Who, and you get a Neil Gaiman episode, and you get Paul Cornell, and you get all these people who are all really good writers who love Doctor Who, and they bring them in and be like, all right, write an episode. Okay, yeah, we can make work, blah, 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 do this, do that. Great, this is great. Because that, I think, is why we had so many great episodes with David Tennant and Matt Smith, is you had a great writers coming in wanting to tell stories. Mm-hmm. Or just in the writer's room, all of them working together with pitches and stuff. Like, I think that was what really helped that series, or those, you know, those two series.
Chris, what was your favorite episode of?
I liked the final one. Like, there was something in each one of them that made me remember why. I liked Doctor Who, like the weird aliens with the Meep. Like the weird, like stuck in space, like on the space station, like with something counting down, like that felt super Doctor Who too. But I think ultimately, like, I don't remember what it's called, but the Neil Patrick Harris episode,
the Toymaker, or
felt very like, okay, like there is a big bad, like it's not just going to always be like a monster of the week. Like, this does have an arc that's going to lead up towards something. But the Christmas episode, like Christmas episodes are the ones that everybody always looked forward to. It's like, oh, like it's the Christmas episode, so it's going to be like something special. They bring in like some weird guest star like Kylie Minogue, like, all right, like, it's going to be fun. And I think ending it on the Christmas episode was kind of a nice, like, present, because it's like, no, like, we have so much to look forward to now as Doctor Who fans, whether, like, active or lapsed. Like, there's some good stuff coming up. And even that slight promise of maybe more Tennant down the road somewhere, because he's off having his own adventures. Hopefully more Donna Noble. She's my favorite companion, because she's just someone you would want to have as a mate. You know, like, she's fantastic.
She's both brilliant and an idiot.
Exactly. I liked her haggling for more money. And then, like, they're like, I forget what, like, she's offered. It's like, oh,
60,000.
And she's like, well, I want more. And they're like, all right, 170. And, like, that's it. Like, and weekends off or something. Like,
it was, she's, Donna, she's like, well, what's the starting rate? And she's like, 60,000. She's like, well, I want 120 and 5 weeks paid vacation. And she's like, done. And I'm like, all right.
Like, you. I love Donna. Like, she's great.
What you're worth.
But so the news, the premiere is going to be May 10th.
Yep. Okay.
And this season coming in is going to be 9 episodes, or it's going to be 8 episodes.
And then the Christmas special, hopefully.
Well, the Christmas special is what started it. So they're counting that as episode one. Is his Christmas special, The Church on Ruby Road.
Yep.
And that's then the, and the penultimate episode is called The Legend of Ruby Sunday, and Empire of Death is episode 9.
So guys, the Toymaker episode at the end, I kind of like, this is like, tell me if I'm just being overly Paul, because, you know, I am that all the time. When he says, because the doctor's there and he's like, hey, Toymaker, you and me, we can just go. We'll sleep Earth. We'll go and we'll play games, endless games for all eternity. And me and the time, you and the Time Lord together. And we'll have fun out there. Let's do it. And then he gets zapped, splits, offers a game of catch. And I'm like, oh, that's perfect. You got two of you versus one of him. Now you're just playing keep away. You could play keep away with the Toymaker for all eternity. You trap him in the cycle where, you know, it's just the two doctors playing catch. Like, and then, you know, that's how I thought that was going to go. And then the Toymaker would get so upset that he's not, like, actually in the game, that he would go try to reach him and catch it and then not catch it and then be out. That when it turned into the game of catch, I'm like, well, you know, this isn't a clever Doctor Who solution. This is, you know, I don't know. I was a little let down by it.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Because I'm like, oh, the doctor figured this out. That's why he says catch. They could play catch together and be like, no, you're playing. Or maybe I'm just a middle child and that used to happen to me. Like, no, you're playing. But I'm not actually in the game. Chris, what did you think?
I had no strong thoughts or reactions to that. Maybe then, it's the only child in me, but, like, no, like, I read that as kind of like how everything else from, like, the Toymaker had gone, where it's like, no, it's a child's game, but it's amped up. So it's like the most violent, on edge game of catch ever.
They also made the joke that earlier, like, where are the guards? Where are the blah blah blah? Oh, they're still falling. Thud. Like, so when the ball falls off, I thought there was going to be a payoff to that joke, and there isn't. Like, the ball, oh, the ball's still falling. He can probably, we just saw him do all this crazy stuff, like, to spice up your life, which I think is a nice.
I'm wearing a Spice Girl shirt.
Which I think is a travesty that Neil Patrick Harris didn't get to sing.
I mean, he hams it up for a while, though.
He hams it up, but he doesn't sing.
like
but there's going to be, and then the very next episode, there's a musical number. And I'm like, but Neil Patrick Harris doesn't get a musical number? All right, but what, you know,
maybe when he's back, maybe when he comes back.
You know what? I'm learning that is my least favorite episode apparently, because I have qualms, many qualms, a quantity of qualms.
You can be qualmed up. It's fine. John, you were looking at your notes. Where do we go from here?
I was looking at what the two episode titles I wrote down.
Oh,
and do I want to try to figure out what Paul just said?
Qualm of qualm. Yeah, I have a quantity of qualms.
That'd be hard to write down and type. It's fine if you want to pick it.
Listeners, this is a little game that I play sometimes. When I notice John is losing interest, I'm like, I want to come up with an episode title right now. and that's where you get stuff like quantity of qualms.
Yeah, I was gonna write that. I'm not gonna write that.
So before I pose a question to try to wrap it up, Paul, have you been drinking the Hop Avenger IPA?
No, but should I crack it open and should I drink it? Or is it, Paul, another ghosty beer?
Depending on how you felt about our other two beers. If you love them, yes. If you feel like, oh, this is a beer I can drink while I'm sitting down talking about Doctor Who, whatever, with my friends. Because this is more of the same. This one is a little bit more flavor like forward.
Mm.
A little bit more malty, like on like that initial sip, but it still really fades out really quick. Like, I think, and this is how I keep John engaged with doing the podcast. I feel like when they do these like mixed packs, they're trying to make it as approachable as they can for everybody. And that's why they're like very toned down IPAs. This one's a little bit maltier. Like, we didn't talk about, but this also has the juice force in there. So it's like that kind of like, that super fruity. Like, I feel like this is that one.
Juice force stole all the flavor from the other one.
Well, I'm pretty sure I thought I saw Hop Ranger as its own.
Like, all of these, all of these were their own seasonal releases.
Oh, okay.
These all had their own six pack at one time.
Well, why do they all suck?
But see, I didn't see any of these anywhere, and that could just be, I don't look at the new Meldrum stuff at my beer store. Like, I'm just looking for doing different things. But I don't hate this pack. I don't know what I paid for it. Wait, I saved
the receipt.
I saved the receipt. I put the receipt in the case so I had it.
$19.99.
I hope not.
Hold on.
John, if I pay that, I'm going to ask for a refund.
$21.99.
Yeah, I think that's a little pricey for this 12 pack.
Everything's always a little pricier in Orlando.
Yeah,
it took a little bit longer to get down here, so you know they got to pay that gas. I don't hate this pack. Like, it's, I do think North it's Carolina. Fine. Oh, I thought they were out of Vermont. Who am I thinking of?
Oh, their original place is out of Colorado, but they have like, I think they own 5 breweries across the country that brew their stuff for the regions.
Okay, well, I don't know then. It's not bad though. Like, $21 for this.
It's a 12 pack.
I'm still okay with that. No. Like, I'm about to crack open this juice force right less, now. Like, this is where the money's at. Everything else is just a nice fridge filler or like going to a party. Like, I'll take out the juice forces and like leave the other beers in the cooler kind of thing. Like, they're not bad. Like, they're fine. But
when I'm buying a variety pack now, because, you know, it is April, going to be May soon, I start thinking It's going to be May. Am I going to would I bring this variety pack with me to go disc golfing with and being like, hey, guys, here, have a beer, you know, and hand them out during the round. I wouldn't bring this mixed pack with me to do that because I'm like, none of these are good enough to like want to share with friends while you're having a good time. Like,
I think it would be okay to share, but like, if you're going to go for like a more cost efficient like sampler pack,
I'm not worried about cost efficient at that point, but
like, do you want everybody to have a good time? Because at that point you just get like an all day.
I'd get all days, or but,
I mean,
all right, get a six pack of Voodoo Ranger or
$18.99 12 pack Fiddlehead or Second Fiddle. Like, you can't pass it up. It's a buck That's cheaper great. Than that variety pack that, you know,
and Second Fiddle Fiddlehead are both real good.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat that. And You got like the sloop variety pack of the bombs. That's $20.
The 15 pack, the overpack, is all IPAs, and those are all good. I don't mind. I like the Citra Fog.
No, those
out of that.
That's good.
You know, you got the 2X, you got Juice. What is it? Juice Jolt?
It's Juice
Jolt. Yeah, Juice Jolt in there.
Yeah.
That's all decent. I would bring that with me out disc golfing, okay. You know? And then, you know, and what's nice about that is like, you know what? I hit it heavy on the front nine. I want something a little lighter. I got to sober up a little bit while still drinking, because that's something alcoholics say. I'm going to go with a 5% beer this time.
Yeah. I think
somehow that's sobering up.
I think this would be a good IPA introductory pack. If like you have someone that's like, I don't like IPAs, because they're all very subtle. Like there's nothing abrasive about any of them. And then like you work your way up to the Juice Force where it's like that flavor bomb.
Yeah. The new IPA drinker, I'm always like concerned about, because I want something that would excite them. Like, hey, this is why you'll like IPAs. But yeah, but it still needs to be, you know, not blow your mouth out like we used to hate Chris. We were like, oh. But something, it needs to be accessible, but there has to be something there to excite you. And I don't think there's anything, at least in these two beers that I drank that would excite me.
I mean, it does have Juice Force in it.
Juice Force, though, would be like, wow, this delivers a lot of flavor. But Juice Force is almost like cheating, because there's definitely like,
I mean, I can go to there. I can go to the gas station on my corner and get like the tall boy of Juice Force.
24?
For like $2.39 or something. Like,
yeah,
it's stupid cheap for like a 9.5% beer. And I can also 19. Get all the rice, because they have like Tropic Force. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, Tropical Force or Tropic Force. Yeah, that's a good one. I just had that last week.
It's
And you get 19.2 ounces of it.
Awesome,
oh,
guys.
It's
really
for
good.
$2.
And also good. Remember that video of the guy like just smacking somebody with iced tea? What was it? The spiked iced tea?
Oh yeah, I got a gas
station. Twisted tea.
Yeah.
They had a Twisted Tea mixed pack when I went to the beer store, and I looked at it and I'm like, there's different flavors of Twisted Tea. And I thought about it for a second, but I was like, I don't need that.
Arizona's got,
because I was looking, I always look for the Flavortown like sampler pack. It's never there. One of these days I'm going to see it. I'm going to get so excited.
Arizona's got the hard teas out, but they just put out a hard lemonade and a hard juice pack. And it's like, I think I kind of want to do a big Arizona night and try a bunch of them.
I don't know. Maybe next episode. I don't know. Let me know. I'll see if I can find it here. I'm not opposed to it.
To bring it back to Doctor Who for a second, is there a better introductory episode that has come out yet other than Don't Blink? Or is Don't Blink the one that you'd still send people to?
I think that's a really good one, because you're Sally Sparrow in that episode. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just there. Things are happening around you. And there's this, like figure on a video. Like, no, like, here's what's going on. And then I think that's the best way to be brought into Doctor Who, because Sally is someone being brought into that universe too. And I'm sad they didn't do more with Sally after that. Like, I think she is prime, like, companion right there. But
I think, sorry.
No, go ahead. I think that is a great episode to go in on.
I think Matt Smith's first episode is perfect introductory.
Right, when he regenerates
and custards.
Yeah.
You have that great stuff between him and the kid, and you kind of get like, oh, this guy's kind of fun and serious and silly. And you have that thing of Amy Pond getting to know what the Doctor is all about, all that stuff of my time machine's broken, blah, 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 blah. And then you have that thing at the end when he's walking up and he's tying his tie and he's like, I'm the fucking Doctor. This planet is protected by me. You look it up. Look me up.
Yeah. And then like all the ships just like take off. Mm-hmm.
And it's like that is the quintessential Doctor Who episode. And how many times have you had Tennant or Eccleston or Matt Smith be like, I'm the fucking doctor.
I don't remember the name of it. Mess with me. The Space Titanic one. It was a Christmas special, the Kylie Minogue, where he's like, I'm the doctor. I'm 972 years old. I am going to save everyone on this ship. I think that's also like a really cool, like, no, this is who the doctor is kind of episode.
Pandorica opens, like, when he's there at Stonehenge. It's like, Cyberman, like, everybody's there, and he's like, all right, it's just me. No plan. Just ask yourselves one thing.
What does he say? Like, what are your chances? Or what whatever it chances? Is.
Go, and then, let somebody else go first.
Yeah. I mean... Now it's turning into like just like your favorite Doctor Who episode, which is fine. The one I don't remember, I think it's called like A Good Man Goes to War, where like the Doctor's like tangentially in it, and it's like everyone's kind of like rallying their forces, and it's like you like the shudders and like the whispers of the Doctor, and like I don't know.
Yeah, because it opens up with Rory being like, I got a question from me and a message from the doctor.
Yeah.
Then they're like, what's the, and it's like the Cybermen or whatever. I forget who's there. It's like, what's the message? And then like all the ships from in the, behind Rory start exploring. He's like, that was the message. Would you like to hear the question? And then it's a reveal that ends with the reveal of River Song.
When he's the teacher at the school, and he's put his memory into the watch. It's another.
I don't remember that one.
There's so many good Martha episodes, and Martha doesn't get him.
Martha's great, but yeah, she does not get any play.
The school nurse in that is what's her name from Spaced, Chris, the woman who
I can see her. I know who you're talking about.
I can't think of her name right
John
now.
John is very sick right now because normally he's the guy with all the actors and actresses' names. That's why I do the who dat. It's like blah 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 blah. Paul, you
all this sparked a question. So your favorite reoccurring Doctor Who supporting character, not a companion, but one of those characters that keeps popping up. I don't remember her name. The lizard lady. Who's like the super assassin who has like her human pet that's like the maid, but they can't say it's like her partner because like even in the future, like you can't say like, oh no, this is my girlfriend. It's like, no, she's like my housekeeper. What's her name? The lizard lady for I wanna say Brigid, but it's not that. Look it up while
Captain Jack.
Well, Captain Jack is pretty good. The face of Bao.
Yeah.
Lady Vestra.
I like James Corden.
I watched Torchwood because I was so into Captain Jack. Like, he's such a great, like, boastful character. Like, he was so cool, so likable. I never finished Torchwood. I left off on Miracle Day because it wasn't available on streaming. I just never went back into it.
I never watched any of Torchwood.
I watched a good amount of it. The thing I didn't like is that Captain Jack was too serious. Where the Captain Jack that showed up, I think he was like, the doctor's going to fix it all. I'm just going to have fun. Where he's the leader of the team and he's a lot more serious.
I mean, like, okay, like if I ever go overseas and like I'm in the UK, like I need to go to Wales so I can go to Cardiff because that's where Torchwood was based out of. And like, apparently like the building that they used for their like, their base is just like the main library in Cardiff. So it's like, it's just a thing you just like walk past on the street. Paul.
Whoever James Corden plays, that's the guy's name from Carpool Karaoke. Like, him and, like wanting to be with Sophie, him having the kid, Stormageddon, you know, I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought he could make a companion. He shows up just for those two Matt Smith episodes. Like, I think they're both Christmas episodes.
He's right? Like the the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Matt Smith. Also, like, shout out to, I don't remember his name, but like the Son Taran guy. Like,
oh,
the
yeah,
guys
yeah,
with like the big nurse. Head who's like, oh, yeah, ugh, yeah. I'm a nurse.
Like, he's a warrior, but then he becomes a nurse and he hates being a nurse, but he has to be the best nurse he can be because that's what
the dude was awesome does. Too. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
James Gordon. Craig Owens.
Craig.
I'm the doctor. I work in a shop now. We like Doctor Who. It's not something that we normally talk about. But that's the fun of doing these kind of like random spin-off episodes. We get to like have weird discussions and talk about characters that we probably haven't thought about in years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't find my sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, and the new sonic
screwdriver.
I don't
like it. I don't know what happened to mine either.
I don't like the new sonic screwdriver. It looks too much like
it looks like a remote control. It looks like the remote from the Adam Sandler movie Click.
I wouldn't go that far. I thought it would look like a garage door opener.
It looks like the remote control from the Adam Sandler movie Click.
But I do have my. You guys can see it. My.
And I'm saying you're going too far.
My TARDIS mug.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
I see it back
nice
there.
Nice square mug. We had three of them. I think we gave one away because I got two. I bought one for myself, and then I was given one as a gift. And then when I was dating Caitlin, she had one. And like Chris and I went to, there was the Day of the Doctor event.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris and I went to that together. Chris, I was just saying how we went to Day of the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And who else
was so good.
Who else was in that theater? My future wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, what's this? The doctor's coming in to visit. Yanni has a little papercraft TARDIS that she keeps on the shelf. She has an Adipose Funko Pop, too, but I don't know where it is because it used to be over there.
This is a kindness. This is a gift from Chris. This is a kindness. I like that the sonic screwdriver is cylindrical. It's long. It's like a magic wand. No, it's like I want it to be that shape. I want it to be a cylinder because I want it to be like a magic wand or a screwdriver. And it being a garage door opener or the remote control from the movie.
Thank you.
It's not. But sure. I don't like it as much.
Yeah. I also have a Fez. I have a Fez because
Fezzes are cool now.
My dad bought it and gave it to me and said the same thing. Fezzes are cool.
I did like the one Christmas one with David Tennant where the guy thinks he's the doctor because, you know, he had his, like the mind. And he's like, I got my sonic screwdriver right here. And he's like, that's just a regular screwdriver. He's like, no, it's sonic. He's like, no, it's not. And he goes, donk, donk. See? Makes noise. Sonic.
That's Morrissey's brother.
It is. He's also in
Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So he's actually a really good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it, guys? Did we do a show?
I feel like we did a show. We talked about all of our favorite things. Doctor Who, beer, comic books, the Adam Sandler movie, Click. What else can you do?
You can rate and review us.
This is low-hanging fruit. Paul was just sitting there like, yeah, what else is there? Thank you.
Drink more, I guess. You know?
Rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. Emails, bagandboardcast@gmail.com. These ideas don't come cheap. We require feedback in payment for it. Let us know what you think about the doctor. Let us know your favorite doctor. If you have something else you want us to talk about for 2 hours while we sit around and just drink, because this is what we'd be doing anyways if we didn't record this, let us know. You can do it all through that email, bangboardcast@gmail.com. Paul's gone. So, John, is there anything you want to say about Paul?
Punchy Paul doesn't use mouth.